introducing Kevin Carroll, the Executive Director of Tech San Diego. I am Sarah Spiva, Director of Communications, and I will get off the screen and out of the way.
So we, so this morning, are we using the Yeti microphone? Is it working, Sarah? Oh, that's okay.
I said yes.
Yes, and I, of course, when I woke up and it started, it's, again, this is going to be recorded. I put it on our YouTube, so I have to talk like it's not a live event. So in technology's perfect climate, it's not so perfect today. And although the rain is letting up, we knew when it was raining this morning that we may lose some of our attendees. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened, because we're very spoiled here in San Diego about the weather. And if there's a cloud or a raindrop, geez, we're nowhere to be seen. So that's pretty par for the course for San Diego. But this is part of a series about how AI and machine learning is really powering technologies. We have several goals in this. One of them is just an education goal to highlight certain companies. And the other is to really build up the regional community of AI, machine learning, data science, soon to be, you know, chat GPT. I always call it chat GBT, but, you know, all these things are interconnected, and we're going to be doing more on that. This series is the perfect place to highlight some of those technologies. So first, thank you for Cooley for being a longtime sponsor of this. It's been, what, Chris, at least 2 years now we've been doing the series, I think.
Yes, sir.
At least 2 years. And so with that, I'm going to introduce our sponsor and one of the moderators, and that's Chris Montgomery. I am not going to read from Chris Montgomery's bio. It's very long. But the important thing to know, and I've known Chris for years, is Chris is a connector. He's been an advisor to both small startup companies as well as larger companies. He is really the consummate connector. And so Cooley's glad to have you here. I'm sure they're fortunate to have you. And if you need people to connect you to things, Chris is certainly one of the folks that I go to. So with that said, Chris, why don't I bring you up and say a few words and then introduce our speakers, and we'll get right to it.
All righty. Don't trip.
Thanks everybody for coming. Small but powerful audience, I can tell. So as Kevin mentioned, I sit on the BD team here at Cooley. Come on in. And Cooley has 18 offices around the world. Last two offices that opened, one downtown Chicago, or downtown Chicago and downtown LA. We have offices from London and Brussels across the US and in Asia as well. We historically love to work with disruptive clients, especially in the areas of technology and life science, especially in San Diego, but, and there's a nice fusion of those two as well. We have over 7,000 disruptive clients across the world. And we also spend a lot of our time doing venture-based transactions. So for companies who are raising capital through VCs, that is a real sweet spot for Cooley as a firm. We love to do that. We also, for the last few years, have done more IPOs than any other law firm in the US, arguably the world as well, since this is the hottest market. We're really proud to sponsor this event all the, you know, for the past few years, and we'll continue as well. It's really just great not only to be in person again. We just moved into this office, I mentioned to a couple of people, in October. So we love to actually be in person as opposed to things that are driven on Zoom. So I know personally, I'm looking forward to this presentation. I've known Lance, one of the co-founders, for probably 20 years, quite a long time. Years and years ago, for those of you who are old enough, I moved to San Diego to join a disruptive music tech startup called mp3.com. And I've been involved in a lot of disruptive companies over the years, and I love that space. So what we're talking about is really, no, it's not just the job. It's like, I love hearing about new technologies that are really changing the world. So with that, I'm going to introduce Carney first. He's going to do a brief intro, and then to Aaron, and I'll leave it with that. So.
Cool. Thanks. Well, we can do intros first. So I'm Carney Chang, VP of Engineering. Measurable. I've been with Measurable for about 6 years now. I started my career after graduating from UC San Diego in 2003. Started in machine learning and text classification before data science and machine learning was a thing, and really dove into the startup space around 2010 and have been a part of multiple Series A startups till about Series B or exit throughout the year. So that's me in a nutshell, and I'll pass to Aaron to introduce himself.
Hey everyone, I'm Aaron. I'm a data scientist with Measurable. I have a multitude of different experience practicing data science in the public sector with the National Institutes of Health, and a small internship with NASA one summer, and also in the private space previously with another startup in San Diego, Classy, and then most recently with Publishing Corporation Meredith. And very excited to be here today.
Cool. And with that, we have a little agenda. We'll kind of describe who Measurable is, a little bit about the products, and Aaron will dive into how machine learning supports our various products, and we'll open up the floor for Q&A at the end. So who are we? We are Measurable, the world's most widely adopted ESG software and data platform for real estate. We help our customers measure, manage, report, and act on ESG. Businesses come to Measurable to help satisfy investor and tenant demands, to access capital at preferred rates, to provide due diligence during asset acquisition, and to ensure compliance with local and federal regulations. So this might include New York's Local Law 97, California's AB 802, and the upcoming SEC disclosure regulation. So what's the problem that we're solving? Measurable's founder and CEO, Matt Ellis, was the former director of sustainability solutions at CBRE. He tells this great story about how he was knocking doors and during 08 and didn't know what to do. I won't tell that story. But as the director of sustainability solution at CBRE, he was tasked with measure managing and reporting all of CBRE's sustainability initiatives, right, across the entire portfolio. Without a dedicated team and resources, he was in the weeds, inundated with disparate data points, on the phone with property managers, and he really had no way to ensure the quality of the data he was receiving, right? So our customers don't have the time and resources to manually manage and improve their ESG efforts, right? So that's where they come to Measurable. In 2013, that's when Matt and Lance Onken, Measurable's co-founder and CTO, create the world's first real estate-specific ESG SaaS platform, right? If you fast forward 10 years to now, Measurable has raised $80 million in venture funding to date, and we serve over 50, or our customers represent over 15 billion square feet across 90 countries. But that's not it. We're continuing to grow. In 2022, it was a busy year for us. We launched ESG advisory service to go beyond just the software platform. The ESG advisors help anywhere from basic ESG reporting to future-proofing existing business strategies. We launched support for German language, and with more languages to come. And we acquired two companies. The first company, Hatch Data, provides building intelligence and decarbonization capabilities to our platform. And the second company is WeGoWise, that better improves our support for the residential space, for both single family residences and multifamily residences. So with that, Aaron, I will pass it over to you to dive into Measurable's products.
Thanks, Carney. So what I'd like to do with my part of the presentation is go over Measurable's products one by one and sort of tell you about how we're leveraging machine learning to enhance their functionality. But before I do that, I want to talk about Measurable's products from a high level as a whole. And to motivate that, I want to sort of showcase the challenge that Measurable is taking on as an organization in a slightly in this particular light, which is that as an organization, we are trying to take on the challenge of the negative environmental impact of building operations. So according to the International Energy Association, 27% of global CO2 emissions are generated from building operations. So as we think about moving towards a more sustainable future and hitting like the lofty goals, for instance, from the Paris Agreement, we'll have to do something about reducing the amount of emissions from building operations. That combined with the estimation that in 2040, approximately 2/3 of the global building stock will be buildings that exist today, means that it's not enough for us to simply think about how to build more sustainable buildings of the future, but we need to think about how to make our current buildings more sustainable. And there are two primary ways that we can reduce building emissions. The first is we can leverage clean energy technologies more. So think making the grid greener, relying on renewable energy sources. And two, we can make our current buildings more energy efficient. So action on these two bullet points need to come both from the government side and the real estate sector side, and the synergy between the two. From the government side, you can think of tools such as building codes, which most states have. What's something that's become more popular recently is building performance standards. So for instance, next year, New York City is going to start enforcing Local Law 97, which requires all buildings in the city above 25,000 square feet to hit carbon emission intensity thresholds year over year. And finally, a last tool at the government's disposal is energy efficiency resource standards. So that's actually putting pressure on the utility providers themselves to hit energy saving targets. The next logical question we can ask is what can the real estate sector do to help reduce building operation emissions? So number one, building operators can optimize their assets to make them run more energy efficiently. Two, building portfolio owners can measure, manage, benchmark, and disclose sustainability data to move us towards a future where this sustainability data flows alongside financial data in all real estate transactions. And three, capital market participants can integrate sustainability data into investment decisions in order to decide when capital goes to more, in order to flow capital to more sustainable real estate projects and real estate companies. At Measurable, our three key products fit nicely into this framework. So for building operators, we offer asset optimization, which helps them take action with real-time building level insights to make their properties more energy efficient. For building portfolio owners, we offer our core software, which helps them measure, manage, disclose, and act on their sustainability data. And for capital market participants, we offer our data product line, which helps them obtain sophisticated asset and company level sustainability data to inform investment decisions. At Measurable, we like to think of our three key products, as well as our professional services arm, as forming an entire platform for the real estate sector to help them achieve their sustainability goals, all the way from the building operator working at the meter level to institutions working at the capital markets level. So at this point, I hope I've given you like a very high level of Measurable platform. And now I'd like to individually go into the specific products, give you a little bit more detail of what these products actually are, and then explain to you a use case of how we're leveraging machine learning to enhance each one's functionality. And I'll start with asset optimization. So what asset optimization is it's a software as a service product where our customers interface with it via a web-based UI, either through desktop or mobile. And how this product works is behind the scenes, it taps into a building's automation system and automatically extracts minute level data on the building's meters and equipment So for instance, HVAC equipment and lighting systems. It's then able to automatically process this data and derive intuitive analytics and visualizations, which it services back to our customers via the UI. Additionally, it's able to automatically produce recommendations regarding building operation inefficiencies. These operational inefficiency recommendations come via the equipment data solution and the meter data solution, both of which are created upon asset optimizations over 40 billion hours of real-time data. So starting with the equipment data solution, which you can see in the blue square, how this solution works is it automatically extracts data from building equipment to analyze when they're operating inefficiently. So in this example, it's an automatically generated report of a building's air temperature system oscillating inefficiently around a set point. So this can be a problem because it can cause the building to have poorly conditioned spaces, a poor experience for tenants, but most importantly, it causes excessive energy usage and ultimately excess energy cost for our customers. This equipment data solution is based on a complex rules-based engine and doesn't use machine learning in the traditional sense, so I won't spend a lot of time diving deeper. So on the meter data solution, in contrast, is there to automatically analyze meter data from a building to detect inefficiencies, and it does use machine learning in the traditional sense, so I'll spend a bit of time speaking about it more here today. And specifically, the two machine learning algorithms it leverages is one, the baseline algorithm, which performs time series forecasting. So it's able to take a building's previous historical usage and predict its future expected usage. And then the start-stop algorithm, which performs change point detection, whereby it automatically is able to detect when a building is starting up operations for the day and shutting down operations for the day. So now I want to show you an example of how the meter data solution leverages both these machine learning algorithms to automatically produce a recommendation for our customer. Specifically, I'll talk about the early start recommendation, which showcases to our customer when a building is starting earlier than is optimal. So on the top here, you see the green time series, which is the energy usage of a particular building over the course of the week. You can see that it's higher during operating hours and lower during the nighttime baseload. So what we can do with this time series is first apply our baselines algorithm to detect when the building is operating more efficiently than expected, which you see in green, as well as less efficiently than expected, which you see in red. Next, we'll apply our start-stop algorithm to automatically detect when a building is starting up operations for the day. Finally, we'll use the output of these two machine learning algorithms, along with the operating schedule supplied to us by our customer, to determine the specific instances when a building is starting up earlier than expected. We'll also use the output to automatically generate a report for our customers, which may look something like this, which will explain that on a specific day, their building started, you know, let's say at 2:45 a.m., which is 3.25 hours prior to what is optimal. And we can utilize the difference between the actual usage we're seeing and the output of our baselines algorithm to inform the customer that this inefficiency costed them an excess $2,400 potentially, and also emitted a potentially avoidable 15 metric tons approximately of CO2 equivalent into the atmosphere. So this is just one example of a recommendation the asset optimization product can make amongst many. And so when we take a step back, we see that customers that utilize our asset optimization product typically see a 5 to 10% reduction in operating costs. And to date, we've saved our customers approximately $43 million in cost savings and helped them avoid approximately 55,000 tons of CO2 equivalent emitted into the atmosphere. So moving on to the second product of ours, our core software, which again is for building portfolio owners to help them measure, manage, disclose, and act on their sustainability data. So similar to the asset optimization product, this is also a software as a service and customers interact with it via a web-based UI. And how this product works is it automatically ingests monthly utility bill data from properties, processes that data and sends it back into the application, whereby it makes it extremely easy for customers to create sustainability reports for internal stakeholders, as well as report to international benchmarking standards like GRESB and CDP. Additionally, it also provides intuitive analytics and dashboards for the customers to interact with to understand their building's performance. One such analytical feature is the measurable efficiency percentiles. So what this is it takes every building in our platform and compares it to every other building in the measurable universe based on operational efficiency, according to energy usage, water usage, and carbon output. So you can see in this specific example, this building is scoring in the 30th percentile in terms of operational energy efficiency. So it might not be apparent on the surface, but this feature uses machine learning behind the scenes. And so I'll go one step deeper to explain at a high level how it works so you can understand this. So imagine that the entire measurable universe of properties consists of only three properties, which you see in the top right. A small warehouse, a medium-sized warehouse, and a data center. And let's say we wanted to rank them based on efficiency. Well, the first thing we do is compute their energy usage intensity, which is the amount of energy each property uses per square foot, which you can see in the first column of the table. Now, if we simply ranked properties based off this value, it wouldn't be that useful to customers, because customers that own warehouses, for instance, would always see that their properties get high scores, and customers who own data centers would always see their properties get low scores. And this is because we'd be ranking properties based on their absolute energy efficiency. But instead, we want to rank properties based on their operational energy efficiency. So in order to do this, we have a machine learning model predict the expected energy use intensity for a generic counterpart to each property. And what you see the output of that in the second column. Then we use the actual and machine learning expected energy use intensities to compute efficiency ratios for each property by dividing the first column by the second. So now properties with efficiency ratios above one are operating less efficiently than expected, and properties with efficiency ratios below one are operating less efficiently than expected. We can then rank properties based off these efficiency ratios, derive our MSR percentile scores off those, and give the customers a much more useful output. So customers can look at properties that are now operating more efficiently than expected and gain insights, and then apply those insights to their properties that are operating less efficiently than expected. So this feature is useful to our customers not only because of the methodology used, but also because of the vast space of buildings that Measurable has in their platform for which customers can get a comparison of their building against. And one way to think about our universe of properties is by quantifying it as floor area, which Carney alluded to at the beginning of this presentation. So in 2017, we had 5 billion square feet in our platform, and now we have well over 15 billion square feet. This data comes from some of the most renowned logos in the real estate sector. And so to date, we have over 970 customers, over 122,000 assets, and again, over 15 billion square feet, which gives Measurable the largest database of actual asset level ESG data on the market. And so with this fact, it's a nice segue into our third product, which is our data product line, which again is for capital market participants to obtain sophisticated asset and company level sustainability data to help inform their investment decisions. So in order to talk about this product, I want to start off by talking about the data challenges that exist for capital market participants. And when I say capital market participants, I'm talking about institutions like banks, rating agencies, pension funds, et cetera. So a big problem for these institutions is they typically lack access to property level sustainability data simply because they don't actually own the assets or properties themselves. When they go looking for this data, it's typically less available than ideal. And when they do find it, it's typically untimely in that it's refreshed maybe once every few years or not at all. And it also potentially lacks coverage across the different property types that make up the real estate sector and across geographies. So at Measurable, what we've done to help these capital market participants is leverage machine learning and our massive best-in-class asset level data set. So what we do is we take all the data in our core platform, anonymize it, and then use it to train a machine learning model system that is able to take a simple set of inputs for virtually any building in the world and estimate energy usage and carbon emissions. Going one step further at a high level of how this works is we have a capital market customer, which you see in the top right, provide us with up to 5 data points for a property: the floor area, property type, year built, address, and timeframe for which they want carbon and energy estimates. We then use a third party provider to attach weather data to this data set for the timeframe requested and send it to our machine learning model system. If the customer is not able to provide us with the floor area, we use a floor area machine learning model to generate an estimate for them, send all of that information to the energy machine learning model, which produces monthly energy estimates. We then take these energy estimates and send them to our carbon calculation engine, which is a rule-based data-driven engine based off our proprietary data that outputs monthly carbon estimates. We take these carbon estimates, energy estimates, attach them to green building certifications and local ordinances, which we get via web scraping technologies and third-party APIs, as well as physical climate risk data, which we get from a third-party provider, bundle all of these sustainability data points together, and deliver it to our customers via our asset-level data product, which is the first data product underneath our data product line. So capital market participants have gone from a situation where they lack the data they need to having timely, accurate, and auditable data. They can access the data via API or flat file delivery. So I mentioned that this is the first product under our data product line. And since launching it, we've begun to work on derivative data products, the first of which being the listed real estate data product. And the motivation for this is that a lot of capital market participants don't want to work with data at the property level, but they'd rather work with data at the company level. So what we've done is partner with a third-party provider to provide building-level information for hundreds of real estate investment trust companies. We then apply our asset-level data product to each building individually and then roll up the output to be able to produce aggregate statistics like total estimated energy consumption and total estimated carbon emissions. So you can see a diagram of this product here and how it's working, but I'll mention that public storage is simply used for illustrative purposes, and these numbers don't actually relate to that specific company. I'd like to end by talking about the initial impact of our data product line, because it's a very new product for us, and it's also a new product for the industry as a whole, only being on the market for less than about a year. But already we're seeing great market fit via adoption by renowned companies such as Morningstar and KPMG. And more recently, I saw a report by Green Street Advisors, another one of our customers, comparing carbon emission intensities with energy emission intensities across different real estate sectors in the US and the EU. So we're very excited about this new data product line, and we're really looking forward to seeing how the industry continues to adopt it and leverage it for ingenuitive ways. So thank you everyone for being here in person and online. I'll end by showing some of the ways you can get in touch with Measurable. We'd love to hear from you via any of these mediums. And I'll also put up Carney and I's personal information in case you'd like to reach out and get in touch directly.